Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me good?
Yep.
Well, just a couple things I got. One paper already done, Steve. I got to just calm myself down and take my time. That's a rough back row over there. I know them well. And that's not good because now I can't tell any lies. They know me well. But I'm thankful they're here, and Brandon is here, that they would even want to hear anything I have to say. Being they know me, and they want to hear anything that I would have to say. It means a lot to me, guys. So I appreciate it. Threw me off, really. I'm like, oh, man. My cousin Danny and his wife. It's encouraging. But I'm going to take my time, slow. I want to say one thing about my dad and, of course, my mom not being with us anymore. My dad got all this information. I used to run down to him and I'd give him the whole picture and say, here's what I'm going to do. And he would just sit there and he would never give you any advice. He would say something like, maybe like, preach it. Or he would bring me a paper and it would have somebody that had said the same thing 75 years ago, you know. And that was encouraging because you're thinking, wow, I didn't know none of that. I never read those stories. So that the good Lord above would even take a minute to share something with me is incredible. And but this one thing I want to say is Hebrews 13:8. We're actually going to do in Revelation 21. But Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and it says forever. So tomorrow. And I'm going to try to give some different examples in the book of Revelation, 21, chapter 21 of Revelations, about that. How we, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever, Christ is with us. Amen. And I want to start with, when I was a kid in Lewis, this is all just so I can relax myself. I'm anxious to do this. It's been a blast putting it together. I mean, it's just been, that's the fun part to me, actually. And when I was a kid, we'd go to this little school. I think it was McPhee Street, right downtown. Not my mom's church on the corner, but on the other street across from the Shockley's house. Remember that little church that sat in there? You guys remember that? Yeah. And we used to go there, and we would talk about Revelation and the end times and how if you didn't accept Jesus, you're going to, you know, burn in hell. And, you know, all these things. I'm a little kid, you know, and I'm sitting there, you know, thinking, you know, all about, and I was thinking about that, how he used to do it. You could be in the lake of fire. That's what they would say, the lake of fire. And you better learn to know Jesus. And I always looked at that my whole life as a fear tactic, even when I got older, about the fear tactic. I was never taught that at home. Our father, your uncle, whatever, talked to us about how Christ was the reason for believing. It wasn't about, don't be scared of all these things, because the victory was in Christ. And but as a little kid, I used to think that, and I used to, you know, wonder about those things. And like in Revelations 21:8, you know, and it talks about those different things. I want to read that. I have that down here to read it, so I'll read it to you. 21:8. It said, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Liars. I lie all the time. You know what I mean? I have a time with it now sometimes. I catch myself. I said, why did I even say that? Right? And I got thinking about it. There's murderers. There's all these other people. But a liar? Even a liar is not going to make it in without Christ. Right? And so I looked at those things. So I was a little kid and that's what they would teach us. We'd learn that. You know, that those are the things that you had to be careful of. So I'm reading in this chapter 21. And I'm going over it, and I just had a thought I got to go back to. A few weeks ago, Paul Greenlee was up here reading this chapter. And when he started reading it, he started reading about the walls and the pearls and all that kind of stuff. And I'm going, keep reading, because I could see it. Right? And I'm looking, and I keep doing it as Gavin in here. The other day I was doing it, and he's going, Dad, why you got your hand in the air? Well, in my mind, I'm looking up and I'm explaining to Kathy, look at that. Look at what it is. Look at the picture of the New Jerusalem. the bride. Can you see it? Look at that. Look at the colors. And look at the walls. And look at all that stuff. And Paul was sharing, reading it. And I'm going, whoa. And right now, in my mind, I can see this colorful, beautiful, gigantic city called the New Jerusalem and the bride. All in one, man. I'm going, whoa. All in one. But I want to thank Paul for stepping down and letting me share this. Because he had more stuff to do. And he was on a roll. And that's showing me no selfishness in the Lord. And that's kind of cool. Because if I had said, nah, wait, I'm not done. You know what I mean? I would be selfish. And Paul showed me something in that. Let's not be selfish. Let's encourage one another. Let's build one another up. And that's just what the Lord does, doesn't he? And so I want to look at that. And I want you to see that city. See, I'm even nervous. I'm not nervous about what I'm going to share. I just want to get it out right. So you can see what I've been seeing. And how basic it is. And how... So I'm talking about the wall in the house. I got a few things I got to get out of the way. And I'm talking about this wall. And it's transparent. And how big it is. You know, it's like 1,500 miles, 1,400 miles high. That's one wall. 1,400 miles long. So I looked up. That's way past Texas from here. But even that tall. It's great big. And then the gates are solid pearls. One pearl per gate. Now, just imagine a gate on a wall. And now I was working. I'm way out of where I was going. But it's all right. We're going. And I was working on somebody's house, and we were working on gates. And we're opening gates, and we're standing there. And it's simple. And to me, I'm going, wow, this is wild. He said, should we leave the gates open, or should we close the gates? Well, I said, leave the gates open. Leave them wide open. Because in heaven, all those gates are wide open. There's not a closed gate. There's 12 of them. Imagine pearls so big. Gigantic. They even have the names of the tribes of Israel written on them. See, and I got into all that. I'm researching all these things, and I'm looking it up. And then I come across this section in here. I'm going to read it. Stop for a second. Lord, help me explain this the way that I have it laid. You laid it on my heart, that we can see you in these scriptures. It's not about me. I have nothing to offer other than you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And then so in Revelation 21:2, and I, John, saw a holy city coming down from out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So he sees the bride coming down, this new Jerusalem. Okay, let's go down to verse 9. And there came an angel of one of the seven which had the vials full of the last plagues. I don't know if anybody read all that. And talked with me, saying, come with me, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the Spirit to a high mountain and showed me that great city, that holy Jerusalem, descending out from heaven. So we see it's called the bride and the new Jerusalem. So I spent 5 days trying to separate them. I was trying to get rid of them. I was like, well, they're different. You know, it's this, it's here, there. And I mean, I'm trying to prove it. I'm trying to prove it in the Bible, not some book I read somewhere. So I'm trying to prove that. But then I got looking in 9. John sees it in 2. But in 9, now he's led by the Spirit. Right? And I started looking at that. Okay, God, you got me in here. I'm reading this. What do you want me to see about this great city? What is it that you need me to see? What do I need to see? So I started looking. And I took the word angel, and I started chasing angels. So I thought, I'll chase angels. Let me find out where these angels are going. What are they doing? Right? And that angel took him. He was one of the ones that had the seven vials with all the plagues in it. Now he's showing John the New Jerusalem, the bride, the Lamb's wife, all in one. So I'm describing this great big city, and you see these pearly gates. And I've heard that my whole life, getting through the pearly gates and all that. But the holy city, the bride, the precious rare jewels that are on this, the stones, you know, all these stones and crystal. And there's no flaws in it. There's no flaws in this new Jerusalem. There's no flaws in the bride. And the bride are those who believe in Christ. We're part of the bride. Do you know that? You're part of the bride. Right? And that's what he's doing. And I want to say something, and this is when I knew I must have been on to something. I got thinking about my wife. And she can tolerate me. I'm rough some days, man. And I got thinking about that. And I would look at her when she was sleeping. I'm in there looking at her and watching her, you know. She's laying around. I'm serious. And I go look at her, you know. Even she's perfect when she's asleep. And there's not a man in here that won't look at his bride. I know Danny's with me. None of you. And don't think you don't deserve your bride. We don't deserve the women we have at all, man. We know better. We know ourselves. We're jerks. And I'm talking about myself, you know, and how I started going, wow, look at that. My wife is without spot or wrinkle. I'll fight you over it. You want to say something bad about her? Come on. We'll roll. I might believe in Jesus, but you ain't talking bad about my wife. She's tolerated some stuff. She's put up with some nonsense. You know, Ephesians 5:27 says it, without spot or wrinkle or any blemish in the bride. You know you don't have any blemish in you. Christ doesn't look at you as if you've got problems. He doesn't look at me and go, yeah, that's Rick Baker. Yeah. Give him a kick when he gets to the door. You know what I mean? He even looks at me in a good way. He even looks at me. He loves me as I am. As my wife loves me as I am. We are thankful for our wives. Every man in here knows I'm right. You know it if you look at yourself. You know? And as Christ is showing us, it's not about me alone being a believer. It's about us. The bride is us. It's not one person runs the show and one person knows everything. Because this morning you're all sharing. You're doing different songs. And they're all lining up, in my mind, to what I was going to share today. You know? And that's what you look for. It's not about being a lone guy hanging out there. It's about how much Christ loves you. It's about how much Christ loves you. That's what this whole story is about. Right? This wall, these buildings, these places. So those angels. Then we see in Matthew 28:2, there's an earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. That's at Christ's tomb, right? When Christ was buried, that tomb is rolled back, and there's an angel sitting on it. The first gate open to eternal life. There's Christ coming out of the tomb. He's gone. There's no way that gate's ever closing again. There's an angel saying, he's not here. He's not around. He's no longer. Those angels are in heaven at the gates. Every one of them gigantic pearl gates has an angel in front of it. Right? There's no way those gates are closing. Ever will they be closed. Because of what? Because of what Christ did on the cross. What? Yesterday. What he did for us some time back. He did that, right? That tomb is just a picture to me of how he rolled away. There's an angel sitting there. An angel. He's not going to close that gate, Kurt. That stone's never rolling back. Christ is set free. He is risen. And that's the thing. Right? And I want to say this because why I think this is important is because in today's world, anything. I can't even hardly stand watching any news, any angle from any one of them. Right? I'm serious. It's just the same old thing. Man, it's rhetoric about how bad it is and how terrible it is and you're this and that. Right? This world needs to know that Jesus loves them as they are. Right? It's not about, you know, them getting perfect and then coming along, or you go here and then you go, or I go to this one and then, you know, you go to the one down the church as we are. He loves every single one of us as that. And that we see in the gates in Revelation 21:25, and the gates shall not be shut. It said they'll never shut. They'll never will. The relationship that Christ has for you will never be cut off. He's not going to close that gate to you. That gate's been open. Like I said, the tomb's rolled away. The heaven gates in the future are open. Right? Yesterday, today, as you sit, Christ loves you as you are. That's never going to change. That's a truth. It's a fact forever. And then forever, in heaven, we can look up and see that big city coming down, looking at big, gigantic, pearly gates are wide open. And what I got caught up in was, what about the hinges? What kind of hinges? You know, I'm trying to find hinges, man. Where is that? I know there's a hinge in here somewhere. Seriously, that's the kind of stuff I do, right? And I'm going, nah, I got to drop the hinges. I spend too much time looking for hinges. And I'm missing the point about the open gate and how open it is. You know, you get caught up in the stones. Okay, I'm getting jumping. Yeah, but those gates, will never be closed. And the main point about the angels here that I want to share is I think is really, really important. John is talking to the angel, and these angels are like, you know, whatever they are, majestic, whatever word you like. They're supposed to be unbelievable in how they look. And so John wants to bow down and worship the angel. Said, thank you for showing me the city. Oh, wow, I got a view. He was shown in the spirit. The angel took him in the spirit, and he got to see this beautiful bride coming down, right? And what's the angel say? And in Revelation 19:10, don't worship me. The angel says, and how many times do you want to take credit when you know something? Think you got something. You think you know something different. You want to take credit. It's the world's way. I want credit for that. Right? Man, I showed you where the temple was. Look at that, man. I led you in the spirit. Look where I took you. Right? Now, even in the world, but even in the church, you see it. I can't believe I just said that. But I did. Revelation 19:10. Don't worship me. I am a fellow servant with you. The angel's claiming to be a fellow servant. He doesn't no way see himself above John or any of us. Right? He says, what's he say? Our testimony is of Christ Jesus. It's we. It's us. We testify of him. It's not about how good you are or how bad you are. It's how good Christ is in all he did before and what he's doing in your life today and what we're going to have in the future, that great city. I bet my mom and dad are at them gates. Man, can you see them? They're just worshiping the Lord right now. You know who they are. Yes. Talking about being that we knew the peace they had on this level of earth. Can you imagine the peace they're right now? Right now, Lord, I can see it, man. Mom and Dad are worshiping Christ. Mom used to tell us, I don't want to see Uncle Joe. I don't want to see, you know, anybody. I want to see Jesus when I get to heaven. All of us know that. Mom never wanted to see anybody. I don't want to see them. When I get there, she's at the feet of Christ right now. Right? Those gates are open, right? Before, today, and everlasting. It's not just a part-time gig he came down here to do. He came to make this thing eternal. Wow. I got to use my little buddy's illustration. I'm talking about the walls, and I'm standing there like this, and I'm saying, look at this gigantic wall. And it's got color on it, but it's transparent. Right? I'm like, oh, that's pretty wild. How can it have a color to it? And it's got jasmine, and it's got this. But I can see through it. And Gavin's walking around the house like he does. Dad, look, just like my father. Dad, I can tell you why. Hang on, I'll be right back. He goes upstairs, boom, 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 comes back now. He brings me a Hot Wheels car. I hope you guys can see the humor in it. It's clear, but it's got color on it. And you know what it does? You can see what's on the inside of it. There it is. You can see what's inside. There's no hiding in Christ. There's no hiding. There's nothing to hide. His light is going to shine through. He brought me that match. I've carried that matchbox. I have it on my dresser, man. I got it in my pocket this morning. Because to me, little teeny Gavin says, see, Dad, it's simple. Isn't that true? Oh, we look at all this stuff. My whole life, oh, I'm going to burn. I'm not going to make it. We're not going to do this. I can't live up to it. Right? He made it so it's transparent. Our lives become transparent. That's hard for me to deal with. Don't look too hard, man. You know what I mean? You see what I mean? But that's for today. Amen. Today, he wants us to be transparent. And that's hard for me. I like the lie, like I told you before. But he doesn't care. He sees me without spot or wrinkle. He sees you, Jacob. You, all of us. We're all included in that spot and wrinkle. And it's funny how that is. But isn't that cool? Little teeny Gavin, keeping his dad straight. What his pup couldn't do, he's starting to try to do. You know what I mean? But he's got a heart for the Lord, that little boy. I mean, I'm serious, man. It trips us out sometimes. Am I allowed to say that word? I see a couple people laugh. I didn't know. All right. All right, Revelation. I want to do another thing about the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to get into the points I want to make, and then I'll finish it up. But in Revelation 21, 1 and 2, we're talking about the new world. There's a new world, a new heaven, a new earth, right? And that just merely is when we come into a relationship with the Lord, he starts changing your world, right? And these people over here, they know I'm far from perfect. For Brandon to sit in here, he grew up around me, man. He's seen some dumb stuff. And my attitude, I got a bad attitude. I know some of you don't believe that, but man, I got a bad attitude. I can catch an attitude in a heartbeat, especially my sisters. They've seen it. But he loves us anyway, doesn't he? Doesn't he, guys? You've seen it, man. We've seen it. We know. We walk it. It's not because we're good. It's because he's faithful. He's the one who died on the cross. That stone was rolled away, and that angel's sitting there saying he's no longer. He is risen. Wow. To know that in your life. And that's the message the world needs to hear. About how much God loves them. Not about, you need to do this or you're not going to make it. You better do this, you're not going to make it. If you're going to have any change in your life, like me, if there's any change, it has to come from him. It has to come from him working in your heart. I don't care what it is. All right, 21. I already read 21, 1 and 2, and 9 and then 9 and 10 about the Holy Spirit, right? And then we see the Holy Spirit, and we see the bride coming down. And in verse 10, he's carried away in the Spirit. John sees it, right? We want to see it, right? But here's the thing. But the Comforter in John 24, I don't know what I do with my tissue. It doesn't matter. In John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, he will teach you all things and bring you all things to your remembrance. Right? And I, whatsoever I say unto you. And that's one of my things I've been banking on. This morning I got up and I finished putting this together and I said, okay, God, if I'm going to say this, I got to trust this. That you're going to bring to remembrance what I need to say. Because I have so much information that I couldn't even bring because I don't know what to do with it. And I don't say that to brag, but it's just funny to me that you just can't, you don't run out. Once you start, wait a minute, this one way back in Genesis fits with Revelation. This one whole book is as important as the other. It's not like drop that one off this one. They start linking all together. And that blows me away that I can see that, right? But I'm asking him by his Spirit to make it real. As John saw that temple coming down and that new bride coming down, I said, please show this to me, that it makes sense to people, that we understand how much you love us, right? So he'll bring all things to remembrance. John 15:26, when the Comforter has come, right, I will send him unto you, even the Spirit of truth. There's that lying stuff again. The Spirit of truth. Today, I have to have the Spirit of truth. In the way I'm dealing with people, things that are going on in my life. I had my buddy Brent the other day meet me about something, right? And a lot of this stuff has happened because I wasn't lying, but I just wasn't being like legit. I just wasn't saying that I wasn't doing it. I don't even know. It wasn't like a lie, but I wasn't doing the right thing. And it burns me up when it comes to the point to me. You know, I wish I could stand here and go, Danny did it. You know what I mean? Or somebody else did it. But it always comes back when I'm seeing scriptures that I need to change. I'm the one that has to listen to somebody. I'm the one that needs to stand there and take it in, you know, instead of being, well, you better, right? And so they testifies. And even in John 15:26, remember the angel? What did he say? Don't worship me. Our testimony is of Christ, right? The Holy Spirit, the teacher, the comforter, the one of everyone. It says, he will even testify of me. The Holy Spirit. You always hear, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Well, it's true. There is a Holy Spirit. But he testifies to Christ. It even says that he brings all glory to Christ. So now we have the angel. We have God's Spirit. And everything is pointing to Christ. It's not pointing to like what Rick does or Steve shares or Esther Ed shares or nothing. If we're not, it's simple to avoid false prophecy stuff. Because if they're not pointing you to Jesus, they're not pointing you to nothing. We want to not be confused. You don't want to be lost, right? If you're sitting there and they're not pointing you in the direction of Christ, we're missing out. Because the Spirit and the angels are even recognizing who it is. It's about him. It's about knowing Christ. It's not about if I come here every Sunday. My grandmother used to have she went to the Methodist church. I'm not against it, but the Methodist church, I'm just saying. She went to Methodist church. She had 50 years of perfect attendance. And they have attendance Sunday. And when you would come with your pins, and my grandmother would wear them pins, man. We used to go with her. We'd help her print them on. She 50 years, she didn't miss a Sunday. My mom Baker. Yeah, she didn't miss a Sunday. And I always thought it's amazing, you know. And it's not about perfect attendance. It's about knowing Christ. It's about what He did for you. It's about what He did for us. The Spirit leads us into Christ in our lives. The Spirit of that mind of grace. Isn't that something? The things that happen great in your life, and Christ is leading you into Him. It's about a revelation of Christ. That's this book of Revelation, is seeing Christ. Sure, there's end times and there's different things going on. I knew this was going to happen to me. I get to a point and I want to jump. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Is it clear to you? But I get to see that city coming down. I keep seeing it, man. Look at that. And that's the bride without spot or wrinkle. We even read scriptures that says, what is the bride clothed in? His righteousness. Right? He's dressed. You know, just think of that. The bride's even dressed in what Christ has done. Right? And think of that foundation. And that's where I want to go. I just slipped in. And that foundation's incredible. Think about it. It's like it says 12 layers. There's 12 layers of these foundations. And it's all these. And it even says the apostles' names are on it. So what did I do? I'm chasing down apostles. I'm looking up apostles. I'm trying to find out who did what. What's their name stand for? Right? I'm looking. Oh, this is great, man. I'm going to tell all these people about it. The apostle did this, and his name stands for that. And I'm reading. And the stones that are there, it says they're garnished. They are placed in the place. And those stones and all those different colors, right? Those stones are actually found in the Old Testament. We're going to go back old, right? The Old Testament, they were on the breastplate of the high priest who went into the temple so he wouldn't be killed for being in the presence of God. Those way back then, right? And they were the stones of the intercessor. Who's our intercessor today? Jesus is the intercessor. But back then, the high priest was. That's cool, man. He got to go do that. Man, and if he did something wrong, I guess they'd pull him out or something. If he died, I guess I have that story right. Right? But he had that those stones are in heaven on the foundations of the earth, of heaven. Those same stones. The same colors. Research them. They're exact same colors. Right? So I'm looking at all the stones. And what's that stone? And what's this stone? And the colors, I got to do it. The colors, they, you know, like crystal blue and the yellow and the multicolors. They're beautiful, right? But they're transparent. Everything's transparent. You can see through everything. Everything you can see through. It's amazing. You can see what's on the inside of purity. Christ is hiding nothing from us. He loves Rick Baker. He loves Danny. He loves that back row. Not because of Uncle Charles, not because of Mom, but because He loves every one of us. You know, and them stones, and they're beautiful in color. Can you see them? Keep looking. Maybe you'll get a glimpse. And they're coming down. And you see all these colors. And it's beautiful in colors. And you see all this. And I'm going, wow, there it is. I get to see a stone. I get to see some color. I'm seeing the intercessor. Oh, wow, there he is. You know what I mean? I get to see this. And the names on the... on all the foundations are the apostles. So I'm going, whoa, what does that Simon, right, or Matthew, means gift, right? And Philip, friend of horses. I don't know what that has to do with anything, right? And then John is God is gracious. Andrew, brave, the praised one. James, the grasp of healing. So all those names, I'm thinking, oh, wow, it's pictures of what Christ was about. Right? But I didn't see it. I'm thinking, wow, that's great. I can tell them that. They're not going to know that. That would be cool. I'm thinking, I got, right? And I'm thinking, God, as the Spirit, show me you. I don't want to see any more stones. What's so great about heaven? You got it, Mrs. Greenley. Right? What's so great? And it talks about the glory of God with the bride. The God's bride's coming down, right? And back to us being on the level of earth, right? I'm smiling. When I got married to Kathy, I bet there was some glow on my face, right? And here is the God Almighty without fault, without sin, and Christ, and He's with the bride. We can't help but glow, right? The glory of God is in His bride. I thought, no way. He's thankful. The glory. He's shining because of us. He's shining because of me. He loves me so much. He's proud of that we have a relationship. This is all this work He's done. It's not just about going to heaven and lolly-da and we're hanging out. It's about the relationship with Him. He started way back at the foundations of the world. And you look at all those apostles and we look at their names and we see that they mean this and they mean that. And everything is pure. Everything is clear. Simon, where's the one? There was one of them. It doesn't matter right now. And just all the different stuff. The colors of the stones. And some of them represent healing. Isn't that funny? Christ the healer. And some of the stones, I'm going, wow, this is all about you. This is all about a relationship with Christ. And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting there going, oh, man. Here we go. I'm in the middle of the night, and I go in, and I'll go to Kathy. I'll say, she's asleep. And I go, hey, look, I got this point. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I bore her to death. You know what I mean? She's like, man, what's he talking about now? He's still talking. He's up. What's he doing? Right? And then I start going, okay, the foundations, the jewels, they're shining. It's beautiful. I'm getting a view of it. But what's the glory? What's shining about the glory of God? What's so wonderful about the glory? That's what it's about. It's about the glory, maybe. Maybe it's about the glory. I've chased stones. I'm not getting what I want. I thought that was going to be it. I really did. I told a couple of the brothers, hey, we've got stones, man. We're going to do this, you know. It is about the intercessor, though. Amen. See what I mean? Those stones are important. I'm not knocking that. I say heaven's great, and it's beautiful, and it is a place. It's a picture of the bride, and it's where we're going to end up, right? But right now, I need to see the foundation. I need help. I got a problem with different things. I got this going on. I'm lost in my thinking. I'm doing everything backwards. It seems like I can't make a right choice. No matter what I do, it ends up backfiring on me. And I'm like, man. What is going on? And then I start seeing those foundations. One of them is, He's the Savior of us all. Romans 5:8, while you were yet sinners. Told you, you all know this stuff. Right? Christ died for us. Foundation stone one. Bottom layer. Before you even knew who He was. Before you were born. Before. Right? What was I saying? Oh, I can't remember now, but the three things. But the first one, right? There it is. He before the foundation of the world, right? And I'm sitting there going, wow, that's exactly right. This share this foundation. God's heart is to His bride. He did all this to have a relationship with us. It wasn't like I come down here and I want to be the great King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, King of Jews, as Ed was saying, above His name and all that kind of stuff. Right? That's all titles that people put on Him. But He really did it because He wanted a relationship with Mike Cunningham. Crazy. With Walt. With you. I don't know what dog's place is, but that dog's cool, isn't he? Just hangs out. But every one of us, that's what He did it for. He didn't do it for that. And I'm going, man, you died for me. You went to the cross for me. Right? And then the next stone is what? The next foundation stone, right? He's the chief cornerstone. Right? And that's in Ephesians 2:20. Jesus is the chief. So there's that beautiful wall, and it's got the apostles' names all on it. Right? 12 of them, right? I'm suggesting to you, and I can't prove it in Scripture, but in my mind, they're sharing. He's the chief cornerstone. Right? One of them is sharing. I don't know which one of them, and it doesn't matter to me. Right? I'm not going to try to prove who said what. Right? I'm sure you Bible scholars know could do that. You could probably tell me right now. Go in the Bible and find out which guy said that. But it's the chief cornerstone. They're going around, and they're testifying to Christ. They're laying the foundations of heaven. That's what they're doing. They're laying this out there. That's what them foundations. That's why their names aren't. Well, He was the only reason. I can tell you, if the angels and the Holy Spirit didn't want credit, but give credit to the to them, my father laid a foundation for our whole family. Right? And he always talked about Christ. Right? When he gets to heaven, he don't want to see his name in nothing. He's always told me. It's not about us. Right? And I'm not sure the apostles didn't when they got there. Whoa! Our names are written on the foundations of heaven? Wow! You got to be kidding me. I'm not sure if they didn't want that. You know what I mean? Well, it's too late. It's there. They wrote it. Right? It's written. And why is it written? Because they were sharing the foundations of Christ. They were sharing to the world The foundations, right? Jesus Christ himself, the chief, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, right? He's all those things. Do you understand that that's all that stuff? Those are the foundations that you're walking on that today. That's going to be in heaven when you get up there. When you get up there, you're going to recognize them. Wow, yeah, that was Apostle John, whatever. He talked about forgiveness. God loved me as I was, right? And that's what he does. And then in Isaiah, that's the same thing. It's Omega, the beginning, Revelation, same in the Old Testament as the New. That's why I'm bringing it from the past to the future when you get to heaven. These truths are real forever. They're not just a passing truth. It doesn't change anything, and it changed people's lives. If you believe that he died for your sins and you accept him, right, then you're standing on that chief cornerstone. And you didn't do a thing. Wasn't because you did it, right? You just went, okay, Lord, all right, I accept you. All right, that's cool, right? And if I have any change in my life at all, it's because I'm on that chief cornerstone. The author and the finisher of your faith. We can, all these I could take and just take apart. And we could go into them, but I'm not going to do that, right? And back to these angels testifying, right? And they're saying, I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I'm sitting in there going, no way. He's the bright and morning star. Have you ever, and then Peter says, and the day star arise in your heart. Have you ever had Christ rise in your heart? Have you ever had that happen to you? For some weird reason, my dad used to say, I'd be riding down the road. I can hear him now. All of a sudden, the Lord dawned on me how much he loved me. Do you know it's by his grace, Rick, that we're here? It's not because of what I've done. And he preached, I know, for 30 years, 4 or 5 times a week. And he would say, it wasn't because of me. It's because of the Lord did a change in my life. If you want that heaven today, you want a piece of heaven today, grab a hold of these truths that he has done these things. In a crazy, mixed up world. Like I'm talking about, my head's been scattered, man. I got stuff here, there, but how's it going to work out? Kathy and I have seen miracles happening to us. Might be small. Doesn't matter. Right? We're going, wow, that had to be the hand of the Lord. Had to be. I want to share one, and I hate to talk about this kind of stuff, but we don't know. Somebody sent us some money. And it wasn't a lot. Doesn't matter. If it was 10 bucks, man, I'm happy. You know what I mean? I'm putting it in my gas tank. You know what I mean? And that doesn't matter. But somebody sent us some money, and somebody called me. And I'm holding money in my hand. Am I right, Kathy? I'm holding the money in the hand. Somebody called me and says, hey, Rick, I'm getting ready to move back to Maine. And I think I remember that you owe me a certain amount of money. Somebody just sent me money. No name, no nothing. Doesn't matter. We don't know where it came from, who it came from. And I'm holding the money in my hand. We just start crying in the house because we couldn't believe we had our need met. We didn't even know. What are we going to do with it? We didn't know what to do. And the phone rings. I said, I'll meet you right now. It's money. But it met a need he needed. Right? We needed it, but he needed it more. And just give it away. Don't hold on to what he gives you. Give it away. Give Christ away. Show the world, right? It's for real. It's not just a game. It's not just a game. And I know I mess up. These guys know I mess up. They know it, man. I'm not a perfect person by any means. But I'll tell you what, we all know. All of us, don't we? Sharon, Danny. If it wasn't for Christ in our lives, and if he didn't help us, man, we would none be sitting here, would we? Come on, Brandon. You know I'm right. You know it, man. I just know it. The bright and morning star. May that star rise in your heart this morning. May you know what that is. That's a good place to be. Nothing wrong with that. You don't have to be in a big crowd. You'd be sitting home alone, man. All of a sudden, next thing you know, you're reading the scripture or not even the scripture. Sometimes I'm watching a show. Man, somebody says something and that's it. King of kings, the Lamb shall overcome, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And within him, the chosen, here's this, and they that are with him are called what? Chosen and faithful. He pulls you in. He sets everything up. He does all the work on the cross. He does it. He rolls the tomb away. He has it. He's in heaven showing you this beautiful city coming down. Now you become part of it. And he calls you chosen and faithful. He did all the stuff to get you there. You know what I mean? It's not. I don't know if that makes sense to you. But to me, I know I'm not a good guy. Like, I'm not perfect. I don't read right. I don't study right. I don't pray right. I'll go right outside and do something stupid. He doesn't leave me. And the world needs to know He's with you. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying go do bad stuff. That's not what I'm saying. Because when you have a relationship with Him, you'll know, whoa, I'm not supposed to be doing that. You know what I mean? You start to notice a check in your life. And that's the funny part. When you realize that, you start going, wow, so I can. And today, you're not going to fool me. Because if you're not pointing me to Christ, I know you're not saying nothing. You're not going to give me this theory. I'm the light of the world. If you follow Christ, you will not walk in darkness anymore. How about that? They can't block out the light of Christ. My father, once again, used to tell us, he'd say stuff to you like, I don't care how they said that. They were talking about Jesus. It might not be exactly how we want it, but they're talking about Jesus. He got in. His light's in. It's in. Once it's in there, they can't take it out. They can try to block it all they want. They can put all the stuff up in front of you, Rick, all they want. But Christ's light's going to keep shining through. Has that not been true in your life? Have you not noticed those things? It's a true fact before, today, and forever. That light is shining in heaven. It's so bright. I'm going to just go to the end of it. It's so bright that there's no need of moon and stars to shine upon it. So there's this giant city we're looking at, and you can look down. I say there's no top on it because they said there's no need for the moon to shine because cities don't have tops on them. The possibilities of God are endless. You can't put a cap on that. And it says there's no temple there, right, or building because the God Almighty and the Lamb are the light and the temple of the New Jerusalem. In your life, today, Christ is in your heart. God Almighty. That same light that's in heaven, right, is in your heart today. Because we are the bride, right? And the exact same light. It's amazing to think that He would want to dwell within us. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. But in heaven, there's no cap. So that means what? If He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, there's no cap of what He can do today. Somebody hand you that little bit of money we got, we gave it right away. Not because we're good people. Not because you can't believe I wasn't thinking about how to spend it. But the phone rang. He just deals with a guy like me that doesn't have any more sense than go give it to this guy who needs it. And the bread of life. I'm going to do two more and I'm going to quit. The bread of life. John 6:35. This is, remember, foundational truths. This is the foundation. These apostles sharing this all around the world. They're setting up on the level of earth what Christ is about. That's what they're doing. And these foundational truths are in the heavens. They're there. There's all the intercessor prayers going on, all that kind of stuff. I think all the people that prayed for me in my life before I came to the Lord. Probably most of you in here. You know what I mean? You know? Knowing my parents and how they were, and you know, you're a stone. You're an intercessor stone. Wow. It's all one big, giant, today, living life in Christ. It's not about, it is about the future, and it is about the past, but it is for today. Know that He loves you today. You are the bride. Christ died on the cross for you. He did all these things. He's the light. He's the King of Kings. And it's a matter of choice. You can believe it or not. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, I know that's a spiritual thing, but is anybody in here physically really hungry? And there's people who are out here in this world, and they need to be fed spiritually and physically done. If we should be feeding the world both ways. It shouldn't be all these crazy programs, but we got to have them. We have them. We got them. But He's going to meet you spiritually, and He's going to meet you physically. And that's what He did, the bread of life. He gives you life. And I know if you're believers, you know He's changed your life. You know you're living on that bread of what He's done. I am, it says in John 48:51, I am the living bread. The bread that I will give is my flesh. We took communion this morning, didn't we? Today. We took communion, talking about the flesh of God, right? The flesh of Christ and the blood. And, right? It is my flesh. Did this on the cross right? And I did it. I gave this for the world, for we, for us, the bride. He died on the cross for all of us. Not, and it says, I give it for the life of the world. Not family ministries, not any group, for everybody. See, I like these little words, for all. You know, and it says, all liars. Well, he died for all liars. You know, he did it for the, he loves you that much. That foundational truth, that heaven coming down, you're going to be able to live in that eternity knowing that you're going somewhere that you're comfortable going home. I love going home on a level of earth. I can't wait to get home. You know what I mean? As soon as I get, I can't believe when I know people say, I don't want to go home, man. I hate being home. I'm like, what? I can't wait to get to the house. Well, this home in heaven is full of nothing but what Christ has done for you. He loves you so much, he's prepared a place for you. It's already prepared. We already have dimensions. We know the size. The pearls, think of that, pearly, shiny gates. It means nothing. What inside of it is what it's all about. It's what's on the inside of this little Hot Wheel car. The transparency of God. He's inside there. The glow is so bright, you don't care about the pearls. You're going to walk right by that stuff. You're going to be looking in there. You're going to see him. You're going to see Christ. Those gates, those foundational truths are there to let you know, in my mind, we're in heaven. Oh, wow, there's all the apostles. Wow, look at the stones. They're from the Old Testament. Wow, look at that giant. Look at that pearl. That's the pearl they talked about. And then you step in there and you see the Lord. It doesn't matter the size of the gates. It doesn't matter how tall that city is, because I do a little bit of building, so I really got into the foundation and how they had to dig it and do all that. I did a lot of tracking of other stuff, right? But you're not going to care. None of that matters when you get to see him. You'll be like, wow, he died on the cross for me. He loved me that much that he laid his life down for each and one of us. He, Christ, laid down. So you're looking for peace? Don't seek peace. Seek Christ. He is peace. You're looking for love? There it is. A whole book full of what he's done for you. It's not a book of what not to do's. Sure, there's 10 commandments, but it says love the Lord God with all your heart. Who accomplishes that every day of your life? Without his grace, we would none make it. That's Charles Baker right there. I even felt like when I did that little move. Yeah, because he would say that all the time. All the time. He'd say, Rick, come on down. I want to talk to you. So I'd go down and sit in the back room with him. He wouldn't say nothing. I'm serious. Sit there for an hour. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he'd jump up. You know, the Lord's laid on my heart. It's because of his great grace. Right? And I talked earlier a few weeks ago about being underneath his umbrella my whole life. Well, we're all under the umbrella of Christ, aren't we? You know what I mean? A bigger, better. We don't have to live on what mom and dad did. We live on what Christ has done. This foundational truth right here, right? And it says here, I am the good shepherd. Here's another reason that I like this one, right? Because the good shepherd laid his life down for his sheep. Who in the whole wide world has done that for anybody but Christ? Now, they talk a good game, but we see who did do it. And we know who did it, because when you accept him, it changes your life. I don't mean you run out and become some crazy lunatic trying to knock everybody down. I thought of those couple Mason guys. They were funny, man. They grabbed right hold of you. You better get right with the Lord. They were fun, though, weren't they, Mike? Good guys. They love the Lord. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Right? He laid his life down for you. He loves you. And the main thing is that you are the bride. We are the bride. And when I got seeing us as the bride, that's amazing. That he did all this stuff for each and every single one of us. Wasn't about an individual being better. We're all equal. There's one above. And his name is Christ. And that's the way I see it. When I read the book of Revelation, all those stories of the walls, the measurements, right? Because I got a tape out. And I was taking I'm not kidding you. I came in here and measured this wall. I was going to try to prove how big the city was. And I was going to try to do all this. And that's why I said I even looked up on the maps how far 1,500 miles went. I tried to find the biggest pearl to ever found was about this big. That's not going to do much. You can't even fit through it. How big is that pearl in heaven? But the gates open. And the pearl has the 12 tribes written on it. I don't know if one on each door or all 12 on one. I was worried about that in the beginning, but it doesn't matter. It's the relationship that He has set apart for us. That He has done. Amazing. Having the glory of God in our lives. Right? So I'm asking. Every day, I'm going, okay, God. This guy's talking to me. I need your glory to shine somehow because this is going to be an argument. You know what I mean? You need to take care of the situation for me that I remain calm. That hey, if I can even begin to share anything. A lot of times it's nothing more than not reacting. And people don't know how to handle that. You know, like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you reacting? Well, because years ago we would have rolled right then. Okay, and it's a good man right there. I have a testimony I'd like to share, but I can't do it. I just can't. It's a good one, but it's not necessary. Do you see where I'm at? Do you see the city? Can you see the foundations, what they really represent, the way I'm seeing it today? I'm saying the heaven's not changing. I'm not changing any of that stuff that's happened. That's been proven, that's been seen, the Spirit showed. All that's real to me, and I can see it. I still see that. Man, it's unbelievable, right? But that piece of heaven, my dad used to talk, we can have now. And how do we acquire that? It's by accepting Christ into our lives, right? And that intercessor, He's the great intercessor. He's the one, man. He's the one praying. He's the one before, He's access to the Father. There He is. Hey, yeah. Yeah, Rick's good. Right, God looks at Christ and He just sees a pure Rick, because I'm clothed in His righteousness. Yes. You're clothed in His righteousness. I can't think of the other one. I want to call it drapes, but it's not drapes. Something else. But those kind of things, I just want to make sure that you know you're His heart. You're the glory of God. What's the glory of God? His bride. He is thrilled to see His bride. That light is shining bright. Forever and ever, the light of Christ will shine in heaven. Forever and ever, long as you're on the level of this earth. Somehow that light's going to get out, Jacob. Somehow he's going to get out of here. These old earthly vessels all beat up, whatever we are, halfway can't walk right, hips get out of the car, you're moving around. He doesn't care. He wants that to reside in your heart. Wow. All right. I think I'm just about got it. I got one more little thing. We'll quit. I feel I've taken my time. Is there anything you think I missed, Kathy? We, us, everybody. It just is huge to think. In His eyes, you are perfect. Won't we know a guy who runs around here? I'm not too sure about him, but he always says, "Do you know the Lord delights in you?" That guy. I'm not too sure about that guy. But he always says that. And doesn't he delight in you? Go out of here knowing He delights in you. Go out of here knowing you are accepted as you are. Go out of here knowing He died on the cross for you. That tomb is rolled away. There's an angel. It's not going back. Eternal life. There is an eternal life. But that same jewels are in your heart. That same intercessor prayer is in your heart. Those foundational truths are true forever. The apostles did all that, right? I had a guy, I got it written right here. Look at that, right on the bottom. So it's got to be right, Steve. And called me about my dad. And he said to me, "I can see your dad right now," and he described something. He goes, "On the level of earth, your dad was a true apostle. He didn't do anything but ever point me to Christ." And I went, "That's an apostle. Wow. You sharing Christ with somebody? You're an apostle. We're sharing Christ." Right? I don't want to get lost in the word and you think you're an apostle and run all around and do whatever. I don't mean it like that. Right? But one more scripture. 1 Peter 2:5. I scribbled it on the bottom. Right? You also, what? As living stones. You're a living stone. You're intercessor for others. You're intercessor for your family. No matter how tough it is, the light is shining through you. People need to know We are built upon what? A spiritual house. Isn't that cool? So it's a house that's built. All right, that's it. Lord, we thank you today for my family that came. That they would give me 30 seconds, Lord. It's a privilege to me. We thank you for this opportunity to share these things that everybody already knows. But we thank you that it's true in my heart now. Thank you for all you've done for each and every one of us. We thank you that you love us as a bride without spot or wrinkle. We just thank you for all you did in the past, all you're doing today, and all you're going to do tomorrow. Amen. You can take off, do whatever. I guess you're dismissed. That's how you do it. I don't know how you do it. But what's cool about the whole thing, seriously, is putting it together. This here is, I feel kind of awkward, honestly. I love doing it at home. I got a table, man. I won't do it. I got a table at home. This is what I do. When I'm done, I can do it. I walk around the table. I have everything laid out, right? And I can't get nothing together. Nothing comes together. I'm like, oh, no. What am I doing? All, I don't know. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And all of a sudden, wham, every page falls together. Nobody's there. Nobody sees me, right? And it's like, oh, there he goes. He meets us where we are. Amen. You don't need a gigantic service or nothing, man. He's with us. If he's with me, he's with every one of you. Yeah. That's it. Thank you.